Chapter 9, Lucy and Stephen. 2 years after Mr. Tulliver's death, Lucy Dean was sitting in her living room talking to Stephen Guest about Maggie.
"The Tullivers have had terrible troubles,"
she explained.
"Maggie's been teaching at a girls' school, and I've invited her to stay with me for a couple of months before she has to find another job. You must be nice to her, Stephen. I love her more than anybody in the world."
"I suppose she's a fat blonde girl like her mother with nothing sensible to say,"
joked Stephen. Lucy's mother, Aunt Dean, had died not long after Mr. Tulliver, and Mrs. Tulliver was now housekeeper at the Dean's house. Lucy hid her smile and wondered what he would think of her cousin. Stephen Guest was the son of the director of Guest & Co., where Mr. Dean worked. He was a rich, charming, idle young man who had no job but one day hoped to be a Member of Parliament. He and Lucy were not yet formally engaged, but their families were expecting an announcement very soon. Stephen was pleased to have found a good, pretty little girl like Lucy for his wife. Her obvious affection and concern for her poorer cousin only added to her charm. When Maggie arrived, Lucy explained that she was determined to give her a happy, carefree holiday. Maggie worked too hard, she said.
"I wish I could be more like you, Lucy,"
said Maggie, smiling.
"You care more about other people's happiness than your own. I'm too selfish. I could never hurt anyone, but sometimes I'm so jealous of other people."
When Lucy introduced Stephen to Maggie, he was astonished. He saw a tall, dark, beautiful girl with intelligent eyes and a warm smile. He bowed formally to her, and Maggie, for the first time in her life, found herself blushing and feeling timid before a man. To Stephen's surprise, she showed no interest in compliments and polite conversation, and was more interested in talking about books and ideas. He had never met an articulate, intellectual woman before, and he was fascinated by her. Lucy was innocently delighted that her two friends seemed to like each other so much. That afternoon, they all went out in a boat on the river. Stephen couldn't take his eyes off Maggie and contrived to take her hand as much as possible. At one point, Maggie slipped and he saved her, putting his strong arms around her waist. Again, Maggie felt a new sensation, the pleasure of being taken care of by someone stronger than herself. Later that night, Lucy entered Maggie's bedroom, curious to know what she thought of Stephen.
"I would like anyone that promised to make you happy, dear Lucy,"
said Maggie. Lucy then confessed to Maggie that she and Stephen were good friends with Philip Wakeham, but she didn't know if she should invite him to the house while Maggie was there.
"I thought that perhaps you hated him as much as Tom does,"
she explained.
"I don't hate him at all,"
replied Maggie.
"But just before my father died, I promised Tom that I would never speak to Philip again without his permission."
Lucy was so astonished by this that Maggie found herself telling Lucy everything that had happened between her and Philip. Lucy was delighted.
"It's a beautiful, romantic story,"
she said.
"I'm sure it will all turn out well in the end."
The next day, Maggie decided to go and speak to Tom about Philip. Tom was now living near the docks with a friend, Bob Jakin. Bob confessed to Maggie that he was worried about Tom.
"He spends all his time alone staring into the fire," he said, "and never speaks to anybody. At Christmas he was a bit happier. He asked me to find a little dog as a present for his cousin, but recently he's been very depressed."
Maggie realised something then that she had never thought about before. Tom must be in love with Lucy.
"I've come to ask you to free me from my promise about Philip Wakeham,"
she explained to him when he came home.
"Lucy wants to invite him to a party at her house."
"I know you will do what you want anyway,"
said Tom coldly.
"You could have lived with Aunt Pullet and been a lady these last 2 years, but you decided to get a job instead. Why can't you let me make the decisions? I only think of what's good for you. But remember, if you start a love affair with Philip Wakeham, you'll lose me."
"You're too hard on me, Tom,"
protested Maggie.
"Haven't I kept my promise to you about not seeing Philip? And I've given up all thoughts of marrying him."
Tom finally relented.
All right,
he said.
If Lucy wants Philip to come to the house, then you may meet him there.